good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of Blessing of Frost, episode 6, if you can imagine. My name is Kern. With me, as always, is Magic. How are you doing this afternoon, Mag?
I am doing well, having a good time today. How are you doing?
I'm not doing too badly. Thank you very much. I've had an interesting week, as I believe you have as well.
Absolutely.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to discussing all that. With us today as well, our guest is Darista. She is an officer of Apotheosis. She manages EPGP and loot distribution with Hunter Toga, another officer. Welcome, Dar.
Hello, hello.
And how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm looking forward to chatting with you and getting those people out there to know who it is that we rely on for loot distribution.
Oh boy.
That is a scary thought.
A little bit terrifying, yes, but I think that you've done a great job so far this week, and I think that Togo will do a great job next week, and I can feel that we're getting to the point where we're going to be a well-oiled machine.
I agree.
Alrighty, I guess that'll move us on over into Lore Master. Kern, did you have any exciting stories this week?
I did not have very many exciting stories, but I did finally get that idiot warrior tune of mine to 75. Now, like I said last week, honestly, props to anyone who's managed to get a freaking warrior up to level cap, because that is like the most nightmarish thing that I can imagine. After leveling so many alts who can heal and heal themselves, like, it was just so painful to get, like, you know, a warrior and to, like, play with the warrior. It's just so not my style.
Did you tank all the way up?
I tanked my way up, thank you very kindly. Horrible. Horrifying. I miss swipe spamming on my druid. I miss consecrate on my pally. I honestly, the whole warrior thing is not for me. So it's 75 now, and now I don't have to ding him until, like, you know,
ever.
Next expansion, because it's my scribe, right? So my last run that I tanked, which is what dunged me, was an Old Kingdom run. Of course, it had to be Old Kingdom. Level 74 with a group of idiots, and I'm stuck in Old Kingdom. And I log in, like, I zone into the instance, and I say, hello. You know, I'm nice, right? It's like, hi, hello, whatever. And someone says, sup, and then says the most horrifying word that I cannot actually say, lest iTunes unrate us from being clean. Like to the point where, like, I was offended. I swear, okay, every now and again, you both know that, but honest to God, I never use this word. And that's the word he used. I'm like, dot, dot, dot. It's very, you know, and then his buddy, who's also from the same server, chimes in with, oh, that's okay, he calls everybody that word. And I'm like, yo, okay, I'm not comfortable with that. And unfortunately, the guy who said this horrifically profane word was the healer. So, and he was like saying, go, chain pull, get everything. Now, I'm not a good warrior tank. Okay, I'm an okay tank. I'm not a good warrior tank. I don't enjoy warrior tanking. Still getting the hang of it. And he's like, chain pull, pull bigger, go, go, go. People aren't interrupting the shadow blasts or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, those are totally savage.
I know, it's horrifying, horrifying. And so I'm trying to tank, and I'm like, look, if you want to set the pace, go roll a freaking tank yourself. Like, at that point, I'd, like, had enough. And he's like, oh, I already have 3 tanks, and you're doing it wrong. And I'm like, then leave, kick me, something, whatever. At that point, I was like, I need to get out of here now. But I wasn't going to drop group and get the debuff and all that crap. And so, like, he's just like, basically verbally abusing me the entire run, and I couldn't vote kick him because the 15 minutes weren't up. He couldn't vote kick me for the same reason, and besides, he had a friend and I was in there alone, so like
I presume it probably wouldn't have passed. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm like, fine, whatever, I'm taking my time, I'm going through. What does he start doing? He starts pulling. I'm like, son of a... So I'm like taunting off of him, and I'm like, please don't pull. He's like, well, then pull faster.
He's really into it.
It was really nightmarish, and it sort of, like, sums up my entire, like, hatred of warriors. Like, honestly, props to anyone who enjoys playing warrior. Like, I don't have the temperament for it. And his buddy is kind of nice. He's kind of apologizing in there. He's like, sorry, yeah, not everybody's, like, you know, been playing this game for however long. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to mention that I've been playing the game for, like, 5 years, whatever. But he was nice, and we go down, and we get the quest, and, you know, for the elemental guys down there by the left where the boss is on heroic. We do the Jadoga or whatever, and then, like, so we did everything. We did a full clear, and, like, the threats to vote kick, like, stopped. But it was still really a horrible run. And immediately after the run, I reported the douchebag of a healer for the profane word he used, which he kept using throughout the entire run, which is so, it's so horrible. Like, I would never even imagine using this word. And I was just like, oh my God.
That's unfortunate. It sounds, I mean, I guess, it's not really a warrior related issue. I think I had that happen semi-recently in a run I was healing as well, but I was just like, let's just, nobody likes each other, obviously, because everyone's just mouthing off. Let's just do what needs to be done, hate each other forever, and go our separate ways.
Exactly. So that was kind of my my take on it. And then as soon as I dinged 75, like, I was like half a bar away. I did like a couple quests in frickin' Borean Tundra or whatever, because I hadn't done any quests whatsoever. So I did a couple quests, dung, and then, or dinged, I don't know what the past tense
I would
is.
Go with dinged, I think. I don't I like dinged, the other I one.
I dung.
There's already enough of those references in the game as it is.
That's very true. So as soon as I hit 75, I then probably spent a ton of money to get 525 inscriptions so I can start making Dark Moon cards of destruction. And luckily, I had the money for it, because I had done a bit of math, and I had invested a bit of money, and I had assembled a Dark Moon card Earthquake deck, then gone and gotten the trinket at the fair, and then sold it for, are you ready for this?
No, but go.
28,000 gold.
That is a large number of gold.
I spent like 13k assembling it all. And then I sold it for 28k. It is currently now, right now on ET, going for about 10k. So I feel like I got away with something there, which is very fortunate. So
is that one of the first ones on the market, I assume? Or
Yeah, for sure. I think I'd only seen one other up, and that had gone for like 30k. And so I put mine for like 28 or whatever.
Cool.
I was very, very pleased with that, like 15k profit. Which, like, all of it went into leveling my inscription practically. Ew, that was like so horrible. But I went to Elves Professions and used the inscription guide there. You will be pleased to know that Rune Scroll of Fortitude 2 now gives you skill ups.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Yeah, I'm not discussing my failure in terms of reading. Thank you.
So that worked out nicely, and now I have a 525 scribe, and I can make Darkening cards of destruction, despite the fact that the mats are pretty terrifying.
Steep.
Yeah. 10 Inferno Ink and 30 Volatile Life for one card.
Was
and
it 12?
Probably...
No, or was 10. It 10? Oh.
It's 10. And you're probably just going to get the 6 of Stones. I created 5 cards. 3 of them were the 6 of Stones.
Three, really?
In a row.
That is... Sounds like almost like a glitch. That seems crazy.
That AoE was just not good. Like, the third one, I'm like, okay, I need to move right now. I need to stop and interrupt this before he gives me a
pull. Do something else.
Exactly.
That seems hilarious. Well, I assume, how many cards do you think you made over the entire Dark Moon Fair?
I probably made about 10 or 12 cards. I didn't make a whole bunch of cards so much as make a couple here and there, and then buy up the others, and then make a deck, and then I sold decks and cards. I sold a Hurricane card for like 27k. And I've got another Earthquake deck too. So, or Earthquake card itself, which is up for 10k.
Oh, not nearly as good as the last one. I hope you didn't spend that much or as much money on that one.
No, I didn't. I only spent about like 6k, maybe 5k, because I already had the six of stones, as well as like two other right. stone cards. I only need five more.
Okay, so that's not bad. And I mean, you're still looking at a profit at that point. So it's almost 50, almost doubling the money.
Exactly. It's not too bad. I highly recommend it.
Good stuff.
How about yourself? How was your week?
I sadly have a couple stories worth of failure on my priest. I haven't done as many randoms on the mages as I should have at this point to gear up. I've been very interested in playing a priest, and I still love healing. I'll be sure to let you all know once that becomes less exciting, but it's so much fun. And it's less fun because right now I only have Throne of Tides and BRC, and so not everyone has both, so I found myself running BRC more often than anything else right now.
Yeah, because you need to discover Throne of the Tides, and who wants to do that? That's, like, deep into Bashir.
Yeah, I had some, I think it was Fog, and, oh man, it was either, was it Pigly? I've been doing this all week, mixing up Pigly and X, and I apologize to both of you. And I think it was Pigly, and they summoned me down there, and so I had that instance. But Throne of the Tides, after the first boss, the second one is Ulthok. I think he's Commander Ulthok, and he has one spell named Dark Fissure, or just Fissure. I think it's Dark Fissure. And it's the same effect that we've seen in Ugard Keep, right? On the last boss.
The Dark Smash?
Yeah, it's a Dark Smash. It's literally the same thing. It's just a Dark Smash, except it hits way harder than the original Dark Smash. Like, I remember being able to heal through people that got hit on a Dark Smash. Maybe it was just because of gear, but it was maybe like 3/4 of their health. But this Dark Fissure has looked like it's done about 90 to 95% damage to everybody it hits, like the tank that it hits.
Is this the big sort of blotch on the ground that you need to move out of?
Yeah, it smashes in front, and then it like leaves a void zone as well. But it's not even the void zone that are killing people. Or maybe it is, because after they're getting smashed, they're getting hit by the void zone. But I've had at least 3 separate tanks who've attempted it 5 times each and still not be able to do it, and then have the group just melt there. It is so sad.
Oh, that's tragic. I remember on beta doing it at one point, the tank died, immediately, upon the smash or whatever, Fissure. And so the feral cat druid who's there went bare, and I had a hell of a time keeping him up, but by golly, we did it. We pulled it off. In the end, I was dead, and we had, like, the bear and, like, one of the two other DPS. So, like, I was dead, the tank was dead, and one DPS was dead.
Nice. Well, there was another, like, during at least 2 of those, I had a couple where there was a DPS. As soon as the tank died, the DPS ran for it, and we still could have done it because we had a plate off tank. But I don't know. No one trusts heals right now, which is disappointing, because I can keep someone up even in that kind of high damage situation. As long as they're moving out from smash, it's not that hard. It's the same effect we've had going on what seems like forever.
Yeah, but you go back or whatever, and you do guard keep, you do Ajul Nurub. You end up with people getting pounded, getting the smash. Like, this happened, like, when I was leveling, who was my most recent healer? The priest, I guess, with, through my 70s on the priest.
Yeah.
Like, I would take bets with myself on whether or not the tank was going to eat the dark smash. And he, like, always did. It's like people in Wrath, people just got really lazy about mechanics and figured, oh, well, we can get healed through it. And that is why healers are suffering now.
Yeah, we're paying now for the mistakes and the complacency from the last expansion.
Exactly. And it's going to be a really difficult adjustment. I mean, yeah. I'm still adjusting.
I've been really on the fence about a lot of that. Because you can sort of time. So once you see him start casting the smash, you can, like, time a G-heal after that and have it be relatively okay. But half of me is saying, of course you're going to heal him. You're going to keep going with the encounter. And half of me is like, they're never gonna learn if they don't die. It's almost worth killing myself, or at least having that tank die, to teach them a lesson. Because it's, I don't know, nobody's learning when everyone just gets healed through everything, and it's just like brute force, done.
I feel very much the same way about that. Usually I don't let them die simply because I'm the type of person that I like to see if I can heal through it. I like to look at it as more of a personal challenge, like, okay, if I am going to deal with this in a raiding situation, let's see if I can deal with it in a 5-man heroic. But at the same time, I agree with you. There's like that little voice in the back of my head, like, just let them die. Let them die.
I sort of take it as a personal affront to my abilities if somebody dies, or at least I was. That's sort of how I ended last expansion, right? Because, you know, I'm decked out in T-77 gear. I'm, you know, well equipped to heal damn near anything. And then, you know, going into Cataclysm, it's like, okay, so you're a DPS and you are allowed to die. I have to, like, give myself permission to let people die.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird feeling. And I always pretty much do it just because I do heal them, just because I have trouble letting somebody die, which I think is a positive. But it's, again, nobody learns. So it's the queue times have been mediocre for that. So I actually picked up Shadow on my off spec until 85, where it'll be disc for PvP, and I've been questing. And I just, it's very weird because I've been running instances almost more often than questing, and I'm just about 83. I'm like a quarter of a bar from 83, and I just got my high jaw achievement for quests. I'm actually not even done with the zone yet.
That's excellent. That's great. That's a lot of experience that you've got right there, and a lot of quest gold too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad it was Hyjal, so at least I'm getting going on the helm enchant, but now I like have to go to Therizine right after this and continue to do that to make sure I'm rep wise. I feel like I'm going to be a little bit gimped just because I haven't done all the zones. I'm not sure. I can't really tell if it's an absolute positive, or I guess it's a little bit of both.
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as you've got the Hyjal enchant for your, or the Hyjal rep for your helm enchant, and as long as you've got your Therizine going, I think you're pretty solid. I mean, everything else is sort of like a bonus.
I guess that's true. The last thing I want to say about my Hyjal questing is I just, not 5 minutes before we started doing this, did my jousting quest in the warp gate, and I love those quests. They are so much fun. And I recommend it to anybody to go back, and if you didn't do Hyjal and you enjoyed the original arcade game Joust, to do so, because it was a lot of fun and it's a great throwback.
I hated that game.
Oh man, it's so awesome. Sort of like the Plants vs. Zombies out in, where is it, out in South Shore?
Well, or no longer South Shore.
Alterac Mountains, rather.
No, it's Hillsbrad.
Oh, Hillsbrad, sorry.
Okay, A,
sorry,
Hillsbrad.
South Shore no longer exists.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Also, I didn't really like the Plants vs. Zombies game.
Oh, there's so many things wrong with these sentences. Anyway, if you did enjoy Joust and or Plants vs. Zombies, hit up those two quest chains because they're awesome. Dar, how about you? Anything fun or exciting this week?
Well, unfortunately, my week has not been nearly as exciting as yours. I have literally just worked on my few dailies that I do each day, one being jewel crafting, one being cooking, and one being fishing. I know, very exciting person here.
And
I know, wow. And other than that, I've really just been doing archaeology. I leveled it up last weekend, and I didn't really do a whole lot with it during the week due to, you know, raids and various other things, but yeah. I kind of worked on it a lot this weekend. I have 6 out of the 7 Night Elf rare artifacts. The last one is the trinket. And there is a very friendly wager between me and a guildmate that I will or will not get it by next Monday. 6 days. So I'm going to be doing that as well all week.
Lots of that.
Lots of that.
What does this wager include?
Well, we haven't exactly set down something definite, but there were a few ideas tossed out, which definitely make me want to get the trinket all the faster. The first one that was tossed out there was that said guildmate would flask me for every raid night from now until Valentine's Day. So that's a month of free flasks, and
pretty awesome.
We all know that there's a Flask for Dar Foundation. I could use all the flasks I can get.
Nice.
And an idea that he tossed out, if I should lose this friendly wager, was that I would have to heal him and his poorly geared alts through random heroics every day.
Until Valentine's Day?
Until Valentine's Day.
Wow.
So, by the way, if there's anybody on Eldrathalus, please send me your highborn scrolls. Please.
Well, we do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us tonight instead of going digging. That's really appreciated.
How quickly did that the archaeology leveling go for you? I actually haven't done it on any tune, but I've considered it.
You know, for me, it went pretty quickly, mainly because I was home alone for an entire week and for the weekend, so I had nobody to keep me company except for the cat, and let it be known, she's not terribly exciting during the day. So, so I just kind of, you know, leveled it, mostly in one weekend. I just kind of sat there and leveled because it was below zero, and there was no way I was going outside to do anything. So, I mean, depending on how long you sit there and you're a kind of lazy, boring person like me, it can go pretty quickly.
Interesting.
It's not horribly bad. I mean, I'm not 525 yet, but what really gets me about it, because I'm doing seam digging for the same reason as Dark, except that not included in any sort of wager, thankfully, is the travel time. The travel time is heinous. I really think that if you decide to do it, you should do it on your mage, because not all the good stuff, but a lot of the good stuff, like those trinkets or whatever, mm-hmm. it's VOA. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, like the fossilized raptor mount is BOP, as is the fossilized raptor pet. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that, you know, cool things that are BOP. But, you know, if you're not really all that interested in any of that for the tune that you want to give these items to, then by all means, be on your mage so you can just pop around the freaking world, because it's horrifying how long it takes. When you have, like, four dig sites in, like, Desolus, and then you have to fly down to Tenaris, and then back up to Winter Spring, and then
you
over
see,
to
though,
etc.
I, being the brilliant mind that I am, have this plan in place. Ooh. For said instances. You have your hearth set to Stormwind, and whenever you have artifacts, like you're in the north part, of course, being a shaman, I have astral recall, so I can do this like every 7.5 minutes. But the plan that I have is that if I'm up north, which is where the majority of the Night Elf fragments are, which I love it when they're up north, if they start going south, then I just port back to Stormwind, and then I take the little portals in Stormwind to either Mount Hyjal or Uldum, and that's how I get around much quicker.
Yeah, that's not too bad. You can also go to Stormwind, and then, like, if it's a mid-range sort of place, you can maybe go down to Booty Bay and then take the boat over to Ratchet. But I found that, you know, if there's something in Feralis, it's like, really? Why Feralis? I mean, that's so far.
I like Feralis too, because those are more Night Elf dig sites.
Well, no, that's for sure. That's not in question. No, it's like, it's so far.
Yeah, I'm a mage. I think that's all I'd say about this.
I hate you.
Oh, yes.
I won't lie, Madge, I really do miss my mage.
Oh, it is awesome. Anywhere at any time.
Oh, I know.
I have portals. I know things.
All right, wise guy, if you know things, how about you tell us a little bit about hot fixes that we've seen in the game?
All right, well, thankfully, we've written some of them down on a doc, which I can just read, because I don't know. But what I do know is that the mage buff food that I ate off of our, our seafood, whatever it's called?
Magnifique.
Thank you, that one. It used to give me dodge, which is not helpful in the grand scheme of things, as I was getting stam and dodge every time I ate it.
Which I find hilarious.
Yeah, it was kind of disconcerting at first. I think it was Sirius who mentioned it in Raid, and he's like, so how's all that dodge going for you off the buff food? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I have no idea. Maybe it wasn't Sirius. I kind of forget. But someone mentioned it, and I was concerned and confused because, you know, once you get the buff food, you kind of assume it's doing what it should do. But fun fact, it was not. And I have, sadly, still the resilience on my boots, so I thought that was affecting it. So I unequipped my boots and tried again, and no, it's just giving dodge. And apparently that has been fixed, because in the raid last night, I was all good to go. So I can't tell if it's a fix, because it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I think that has been fixed officially, which is sort of a bit of a letdown, to be honest. That was really... like, of all the people in the raid, you need to go spend more money on buff food.
Wonderful.
That's excellent. Let's see what else. Mixmaster. They have hotfixed two guild achievements, which lead to rewards. Mixmaster gives you the Cauldron of Battle, which is achieved by only doing 1,000 flasks in guild and procs count, by the way, which is down from 10,000 flasks.
That's a much smaller number.
Yeah, they're like, we have clearly overestimated the amount of flasks that people would be making this early into Wrath, or Cataclysm, rather. And, yeah, clearly they did, because I think we were at, like, 700 when the news broke, and we're still not at 1,000.
That's much more easily grindable, thank God. Previously, yeah. It was, like, way too daunting. It wasn't even worth, you know, considering grinding
sometime
that out.
Sometime in April or May.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, August.
Maybe.
And then the other one, the next level of that is better leveling through chemistry, which previously required 25,000 flasks to get the big Cauldron of Battle, and that's been nerfed down to 3,000.
25,000?
Can you imagine?
No, I actually can't, considering we had like 700.
Yeah, it's pretty painful. So those are much more achievable now. So you can get the Cauldron of Battle, which ties in with the level 10 guild reward Chug-a-Lug, which improves the duration of your battle, your flask of battle, which is what you get out of these cauldrons. By another 50%. So instead of it lasting an hour, flasks last 90 minutes when you get them from the cauldron. And I hear tell that mixologists, as long as they're able to learn this, or alchemists, as long as they're able to learn this, will benefit from mixology. So they'll get a double duration and increased potency. This is what I hear.
Wow.
I have not confirmed it myself, though. And finally, with regards to that, healers get int from it, not spirit, from what I understand. So
I guess you may still have to get your own food if you prefer the spirit.
Our own flask, yeah, for sure.
Our flask, yeah.
There are definitely some encounters where I definitely want to be flasking for spirit, but other than that, like a 3-hour int flask, like just taken from the yeah, that's great.
Yeah, that seems pretty ridiculous. What else happened? Oh, were you there for that Dead Mines run that we ran probably 3 or 4 days ago? I don't remember now.
No, maybe not.
No. Well, we ran it, and about halfway through the instance, we're like, something different? It seemed a little odd. Like, we were to the old Shredder room, and there were way less mobs, like less trash in the Shredder room, and it turns out they have nerfed the Dead Mines by quite a bit. I've been, I mean, they're missing mobs all over the place in the trash, And it went much quicker than it ever had previously.
It's kind of sad, but also kind of a relief. I know that several people in the guild have been farming that place for the wand off of Cookie.
Yeah, Cookie Stirring Rod.
Does Mabrium still have
wand? He does not. He, in fact, got it earlier this week. Congrats to him.
Oh, awesome. Glad to hear
it. Yes, that's good stuff. And, well, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I hear that there are the fewer of those spinny things of death.
Oh, like when you're in the, well, not, it's not the Shadow Realm, in the,
Nightmare.
Poison. The Nightmare Realm, yes. That's for...
They got rid of the Mario Lightning, well, not rid of them, but less Mario Lightning Rods?
Apparently.
That's sort of a good thing, I guess. I don't know. I figured it was probably, it was hard previously, but it wasn't, I don't think it had to be nerfed.
Neither, but then again, I am a paladin, and I do have Divine Shield, and it never even occurred to me, but apparently I can just bubble through it all. But
yeah, I blinked through a bunch of them as well.
Nice.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was sufficiently hard, and not just that, but the whole instance overall. It sort of brought back the seriousness of the Deadmines and how hard and epic length that originally was.
Oh god, yeah, when I was leveling my druid, my priest, and all that stuff, going through the frickin' dead mines was like, oh god, I'm going to die.
Yeah, I died very repeatedly in there. I did not successfully do it until probably maybe like 10 attempts. In fact, one of the funniest, maybe my funniest WoW experience ever is in the dead mines, the original dead mines, where I'm running the Deadmines with my good in real life friends who played Lone Wolf, or Loney Wolf rather, the original priest who created it. And we're on the ship, and it's late. It's probably like between 1 and 2. And this was, I guess, a year or two after, probably just a year or less after it came out. And we have been running Deadmines for hours and multiple times. And it's late, and we're up on the ship, and suddenly I go running straight off the ship, like, just right off. I pull, like, every mob off the ship with me. They slaughter me and run up and kill everybody on the ship also. And he's like, yo, what happened there? He used more colorful language, I believe. And it turns out I had actually fallen asleep with my hand on the W key and wiped our entire party with it. It was
awesome.
It was pretty much amazing, I must say.
That's hilarious. I was actually about to interject what you were actually playing WoW at like 1 o'clock in the morning, because I know you. You are not a late night kind of guy. You fall
asleep.
I'm not
very successful at it.
Oh, jeez, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the Dead Mines house some of my favorite things. And I was actually really glad to see the Emberfire staff to still exist and all those fun weapons.
Yep.
The changes are cool, but the classic will live on forever.
Let's see what else here. There's a PTR up. It is 4.0.6. They're doing a lot of things. I don't even know most of the changes that they're doing, but I know that
there are tons.
There are a lot of changes, so definitely double-check those patch notes before that gets released. Among other things, they are redoing the Ret Pally Mastery, which I thought was really interesting. Instead of, giving you a chance to proc an ability that then makes your next move not cost any holy power, but acts as if it was 3 holy power, they're changing it to add extra holy damage to any attack that you do, which I think is good. I mean, that is sort of very paladin-esque.
Yeah, that sounds more appropriate than the other thing. It sounds more, that's more like a mastery, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that's taking something that already exists, and it's sort of, enhancing it, which is what I think a mastery really should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the other note that has paladins, across the blogosphere and community, raving, they're giving all paladins an off the GCD interrupt with rebuke. It's a 10-second cooldown. Works just like a pummel, I think it is, or kick, or what have you.
Wind shear.
Except it's not as good as wind shear, because Dar is an interrupting fiend. Jeez, 6-second cooldown. So, yeah.
And in the middle of healing, amazing.
Yeah, now I'm going to be expected to do that craft. God,
ouch.
Not cool.
got some big shoes to fill when I'm not there in the raid at a given night.
I may cry. So, but yeah, definitely check out the patch notes for 4.0.6. It is on the PTRs right now. Go play with it if you like. Just download the client, log in. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see what else is in store for us.
That'll become actual news once it goes live. So more to expect from that down the road. And I think we have some exciting information or updates in our slash raid segment. Isn't that right, Kern?
Oh my goodness, yes. We went in there on Tuesday the 4th, full raid group, which was really awesome. We had like 34 people signed up for the raid. I think we had like a total of 32 or 33 people on. And we went in and we got Magma down on 25, played with Omnitron Defense System for quite some time, like 10 different attempts.
Yeah, a while.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yes. And then we have Wednesdays off, and then we went back in on Thursday, and we're like, you know what, we're just going to warm up with Baron and Hold. So we go in, one shot, Pit Lord Argaloth. He's so easy. I mean, it's easier than Archivon, I feel. It's just so...
Easier than Archivon? I have to say, I wasn't at that raid, but I find that so hard to believe.
Oh no, it's pretty freaking easy.
Oh boy.
It's very easy.
And then we decide, you know what, we're just going to go in and we're going to work on Omnitron. Like, we really wanted to get both, you know, Magma and Omnitron down in Black and Descent. We go in, we get Omnitron down. And then it's like, huh, well, that only took us like 4 or 5 attempts. Where to now? So we went over to Bastion of Twilight and had a hilarious time on trash. Like, so much trash. It's kind of unbelievable. But we got through it all. We even got a staff. Charlie's staff of Dark Bending, I think it's called. And huh. That went to Num, who does our intro. Hi Num, you're famous, yay. And then we went in and we worked on Halfus, and we had the Nether Scion, the Time Warden, and the Slate Dragon. And that was an interesting combo. And basically how we did it with a lot of luck was we released both the Nether Scion and the Time Warden at the same time. And we used 3 tanks for it. And basically that's what we did. We popped Victory. Hero at the beginning. He enrages, a hardened rage, basically at 6.5 minutes. But because the Slate Dragon was up, he got stunned every so often for 12 seconds. And so we took full advantage of that. And in the end, I think we had 3 DPS up and all 6 healers. And everyone else was dead. And it was glorious. Beautiful, and it was a victory, and I would definitely take that.
Yep, death of the boss, you know, messiness aside, they died, we got loot.
And it was on the infamous last attempt, which was awesome.
As always.
And then on Sunday we went in and went back to Bastion Twilight, worked through some more nightmarish trash to the Twin Dragons of Valiona and Thoralion, which I learned is not pronounced Thera Leone, but...
Nice.
Yes.
I'm French, okay? Leave me alone. So we worked hard on that. That was a lot of learning, a lot of collapsing, a lot of moving, and it took us a while to get the hang of the mechanics, but in the end, we were successful. We actually finished at 11:30 last night instead of midnight. I got the twins down and called it early, because that was a great week. 5 bosses down, all on 25 man, 4 of them in instances that actually matter. That was a great raid week, Apotheosis. Great job.
Yeah. And at this point, with those bosses, it's going to be making sure we can repeat the performance as close to the first time as possible.
Or better in some cases. Like, I would like to not have an enraged Halfus to deal with. Like, it would
yes,
be really nice to get him down
true.
Before 6 minutes. Alrighty, and that brings us into our Guild Tab segment. This is where we like to talk to our guest a little bit about themselves and give them the opportunity to talk a bit about their history and how they joined Apotheosis and the like. So, as mentioned previously, our guest this week is Darista, whom we call Dar. She's the loot master, one of our loot masters for the Guild. And this is basically your chance to tell us a bit about yourself, Dar.
So, exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your tune's history, either Dar or your raiding tune or what have you, up to you.
Some people, most people know this, but I actually have played my mage for 5 years, up until the fall, this past late fall, where I decided to switch over to my shaman for the Cataclysm expansion. History isn't terribly exciting. A good friend and guildmate, the infamous Cut, got me into the World of Warcraft, for which I will endlessly thank him, because it is fun, I won't lie. I played my mage. I didn't really raid during vanilla, simply because I just didn't have the time, and I was pretty noobish, I won't lie. I mean, I remember very distinctly being in the Molten Core doing the first boss, and I was like, oh, I just use DPS spells. And I was a fire mage, and I threw out arcane missiles, and everybody in the raid was like, no, Dar, no. So, I mean, I remember I was so frightened to use arcane missiles that I thought that it was horrible to use them ever. Which obviously then playing arcane, I was like, okay, no, arcane missiles are your friend if you're the correct spec for them. she started out in Faded Heroes from the very first week that, I've started playing. After that kind of went downhill, I followed some, guildies to a couple guilds, one being Kindred, the other one where we were all just kind of hanging out. It was called Chillin'. Chillin'. We were chillin' between guilds. And then you guys started Apotheosis, and I joined up a day or two later, and raided with you guys for those 2 years or so. And then after that, when that fell apart in Wrath, I raided with Soylent Green for a bit, and then I went and raided with Free at Last before my real-life schedule kind of threw a wrench in that. And the shaman, she hasn't done any raiding except for ICC 10 and 25. I was kind of hesitant to make her my main because I've always had my mage as my main, so it was kind of like, you're leaving behind a good friend. Yeah. But with the changes coming, I was like, well, healing is pretty fun. At the time, I liked my Disc Priest more. Looking at it now, I am really glad I did not go with my Disc Priest, because the Shaman has been extremely fun to heal on. I love raiding with her, and I'm actually quite thankful that I did decide to stick with the Shaman when I was having my second guesses 2 weeks before our first our first raid. Like, oh God, Karen, I want to play my mage. but yeah, I was excited about the Shaman changes, and I think the overall challenge of healing has certainly suppressed any desire to go back to my mage for the time being.
Sad pandas.
It is sad, but I am a mage at heart, Madge, and I understand the mage woes and the QQs.
Excellent. Well, as long as you still have that, then.
Oh, I do. I'm always a mage at heart. Always a mage at heart.
Excellent. Well, if what would you say is your favorite memory, then? Does it have to do with your mage?
It does, and it actually has to do with you.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
That's
disconcerting.
My two favorite memories. I can't pick just one because I have so many. Two of my top favorites, though, because we have such a loving relationship, is when I got the cinnamon bun rolls. The very first run, and you had run it, I don't know how many times.
Lots. Let's just say that.
And I believe it was the first time I went into ZG to try and get the polymorph turtle tome, I got that first go. And I believe the same night that I got the mage food, we went into Dire Maul, and I believe we got the water first try as well. I like to rub all three of those in. FYI.
That's super exciting.
Alrighty, so why did you decide to join Apotheosis? Because like you said, you you had followed people along to different guilds, but why did you ultimately join Apotheosis? Why did you come back?
Well, I joined because, to be quite honest, I didn't know anybody else.
Fair enough.
I was like, I like Madge, I like Kern, they're cool people. You know, I know Cut, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I joined up and... you guys actually let me raid, and I was like, sweet, you know, I've never raided before, this will be fun. And I definitely learned a lot. I learned even more after leaving Apotheosis, not to say that there was anything wrong with Apotheosis, but we were a very casual guild by casual standards. So going into, you know, Soylent Green and then Free at Last, you know, one of the top alliance guilds at the time, you know, it's like you really learned quickly, you know, how to be the best at your class. And you know, I took a lot of experience from them and kind of, you know, made it my own and came back to Apotheosis basically because, you know, I missed it. You know, I think that this guild has a very unique group where we know how to get stuff done, but we also have a very good time at it, you know, outside of raiding. It's not just log on, let's go raid, okay, see you guys in a couple days. It's like a community and like a family where you just know everybody, and it's, you know, your crazy brother-in-law from Kansas and, you know, all these other people. you know, that you love them, and, you know, even when you're not raiding, you kind of want to hang out, you want to do group runs, you want to go get, you know, retro raids together. It's all in all a very fun group, and, you know, basically the core people of Apotheosis, including myself, have always been, you know, you guys were my first guild, and gosh darn it, you guys are going to be my last.
Excellent. Love to hear that. That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Alrighty, so what else do you like to do in-game besides raid?
I am a self-professed altaholic. I love macros, and I love, love, love my add-ons. Anything you can customize and make your own is my best friend.
Excellent. Good stuff. That's actually a great segue into our special question for you.
Oh, dear.
Mm-hmm. I swear to God, I wrote this before she said any of that.
Yeah.
You are known for your love. Oh, God. You are known for your love of macros and add-ons.
Written an hour ago, at least.
You have written amazing guides for Decursive and Grid. Your boyfriend and our physical DPS officer, Day, hates macros with a fiery passion and loathes the majority of add-ons. So my question to you is, how does this impact your relationship, or is it just a subject you agree to disagree on?
Well, you know, they say opposites attract, right?
I guess so. Fair enough. I don't know if they were thinking about that.
You know, it's really funny, because, I mean, we never argue about anything. We'll discuss things about the game every now and then, and... you know, he comes into my room sometimes, you know, to check, see how a raid's going, if, you know, or whatever. And, you know, I have all these beautiful add-ons. My UI is just pristine. It's clean. And I love it. And, you know, cause every now and then he'll comment like, ah, add-ons. Blah. You know, who needs those? Bah, humbug. And so I go into his room every now and then when he's playing. And it's just like the standard Blizzard UI with, like, if he's on his shaman, he has totem timers. And I think just recently, he kind of got sucked in, and he got some kind of rage bar for his main tune, his warrior. And it's just funny to see the differences, because, you know, he'll say something. I did talk him into getting Altaholic. That's my, like...
No.
Oh yes. He's had it for quite a while now. I was like, no, really, you gotta try it. It's awesome. You can see everything. And I think he has enjoyed that, given his, you know, his typical money-making schemes that he likes to do. Need to know what mats, you know, each character has. But other than that, you know, it doesn't affect anything. We have our little squabbles, because sometimes we'll be like, well, you don't need that. I'm like, well, no, you don't, but it's nice to have. Or, you know, I don't know. I like my add-ons. He doesn't like add-ons. And we just kind of leave it at that.
Fair enough. Wonderful. Excellent answer. Our topic today is in-game money. How to make it, how to save it. Basically, how not to be poor. As we all know, reading is a really very expensive habit. I know Dar knows. you have to bring food if your guild isn't putting down a feast, or if a different food is better for you than the feast. You have to get flasks and, you know, reagents and repairs too. So today we'll discuss various ways of how not to bankrupt yourself, and maybe even how to make some gold. First up, saving gold. What are some ways that you guys like to, you know, not expend gold in order to acquire something?
I guess the best way for me to not expend gold, I think you know what's coming on this one, is to ask you to buy something. Because then I get these things, and yet I haven't paid for them. But no, I mean, realistically, recently, saving is a lot of farming your own mats, and especially being able to farm on the priest since I've started leveling herbalism, I can farm masks for my own flasks, and that's been able to save money that way.
Yeah, farming is pretty key. Sorry, Dart, what were you saying?
Oh, no, that's fine. I was just saying the only way I know how to save money is to stick it on my bank tune. But even then, that sometimes fails because I have Altaholic installed, and I can see how much gold all of my characters have.
Yeah, I do a similar thing. Basically, if I don't have it on the tune that I want to buy it on, I will probably not bother to alt and get it. But I go a step further. My bank alt has a bank guild, and therefore I deposit like everything I have except like 50 gold into the bank, the guild bank. So I have like 200 gold on each of my tunes, like 50 gold on my bank tune, and then everything else goes into the vault.
Yeah, I actually have the exact same thing. I have the bank vault guild, and at the same time, I try and make sure I have some gold, but not a ton, because you're right, the exact same thing would happen. A quick tip is, if you're doing that, make sure you do have some gold on your bank tune, the tune itself, because you can't mail things with no gold. You may forget, because it's such an inconsequential amount of money, but if you don't have any money, then you can't mail stuff.
That is a good tip.
Yeah.
And also remember that if you're using a bank tune for auctions, you also need money for the listing fee, because there is a small listing fee depending on, you know, how long you want to leave the auction up for.
And it can differ a lot depending on what the item is as well.
And speaking of the auction house, another great way to save your money is to not buy overpriced crap on the AH. Like, you don't need at any point to spend 40,000-50,000 gold on an item. I mean, granted, a lot of people are buying these really ludicrously overpriced items that are either trash drops from instances or dark moon cards or what have you, because they really want that competitive edge. And if you have the money to do it, by all means, do it. I have auctions up every day. Please do buy my crap. The average typical person does not need to get, like, you know, the first week of, or first month or so of raiding. You don't need to go get that BOE epic staff that drops out of Bastion of Twilight off the AH. You don't need to get a Dark Moon card right away. You can generally wait a little bit for the premium price to drop. Like I said, the Dark Moon card Earthquake that I sold for 28,000, like, less than a week ago, is now going for 10K, if that much. So, you know, oftentimes, just by waiting a week, maybe two, or in the case of the Darkened cards, maybe like a month, then you're going to see a steep decline in the prices.
There's there's almost, it's funny because there's almost such a small number of things that you absolutely have to buy on the auction house. And it's limited a lot. If you don't have a guild, then things you need to that you do need to spend on are things like gems and glyphs and enchants. Just things that are going to get your gear raid ready. And that's about it. Gear-wise, unless you're specifically hurting for being able to queue for heroics or regular dungeons, there's almost never a reason to be purchasing a piece of gear at all. There's almost always some sort of other alternative to that gear that can be gotten out of a heroic, or if you're listening, most likely a raid.
Yeah, and a great example of that is the light elementium belt that you can get through blacksmithing. It costs, I believe, it's 2 chaos orbs and a bunch of ore and stuff. Versus the Sun King's Girdle, which is an exalted Ramkahen belt. Both of these are for Holy Paladins. The exalted one costs, I don't know, maybe 100 gold, and requires you to be exalted with Ramkahen. And the other will probably put you back like 3,000-5,000 gold at this point. So it's a matter of, are you willing to wait the 4, 5, 6 days for you to get to exalted with Ramkahen? And get that belt, or you just want the belt for that slot immediately, you'll go out and spend 5k. Oftentimes, there are, as Magic said, alternatives to the loot that's up on the AH. There are some identical items that you can get through rep or through raids or what have you, and you don't necessarily have to go, blow all of this cash, which can be, in some people's cases, their life savings. On a belt that isn't even as good as the rough one.
And in order to save money in the long run, you could also make sure you're leveling up your professions as you yourself are leveling, because the upper tier of the crafted stuff for your own class, for example, the crafted cloth items, only require what it takes to also level those to level tailoring. So you'll be able to level tailoring and create those items at the same time, which would cost you a bunch of money on the auction house. And if you're going to buy the mats, then it may cost you as well. But if you're going to farm it up, then you can save a bunch of money, level your tailoring, and have epic level gear.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like when I was leveling Kern, I crafted myself some of the crappy PvP stuff, the PvP mail stuff, just so that I could, get myself into runs with a very understanding guild who knew that I was doing this in order to benefit my leatherworking, which benefited the rest of the guild, all that stuff. But a lot of the times, the stuff that you make, you can end up using if you have that sort of a profession. It's really important, I find, to use your own profession to your own advantage. Leather workers have the leg emboss and the bracer emboss. The tailors have the spell thread and the embroideries. Enchanters can enchant their rings. There are lots of little things like that really allow most professions to really benefit from them. And you're still leveling your profession and enhancing your gear or crafting gear as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's another quick one to save gold, I guess, is it's towards farming the materials, is holding onto your greens and having them, either disenchanting them yourself or having a guildmate disenchant them so that you can save those mats to go towards your own enchants, which is something you could do on your, not just your main, but also your alt, because they're going to be collecting those greens, just questing or dungeons or any of that. And saving them is always going to be better. And maybe there's a disenchanter in your group, maybe not, but it seems a lot easier to just vendor that, but it's not always the correct choice.
Yeah, unless it's going to vendor for something like 26 gold, like you got a big fat two-handed something or other, that'll vendor for a lot. But a lot of the times, if you DE something, the enchanting mats, as Dar well knows because she's our guilder and enchanter,
yeah.
The mats can be outrageously priced, and it just really depends on where your server's market is sort of normalized at. I mean, for the longest time, they were doing we were getting a lot of essences and not a lot of dusts, but then they realized that was a mistake and switched it. So now we're getting a lot more dust and a lot less essence. So
that was horrible.
Yes, it was really tragic.
How is that looking now, Dar? Do you know what the market is sort of stabilized out to on that?
I haven't sold any of my personal mats in a week or two, but I mean, last I had sold anything, the Heavenly Shards were going for upwards of about 150, 200 each. I don't think they're going for quite that much anymore, which is kind of sad because I have collected quite a few of them from Heroics, and I was like, yes, money! But no money. No money for Dar.
Let's see if we can maybe, I don't know, help you out there with that. Let's talk a little bit about making gold. There are lots and lots of ways to make gold in this game, especially nowadays. I think that the easiest way to do it is something that most people tend to do on a regular basis, and that's daily quests. You know, fishing, cooking, jewel crafting for jewel crafters. These all give money. They all, and not to mention that Therizane dailies, that's a hefty amount of gold every time you do those.
I say, I actually have not been able to dive into the, I haven't gotten into those daily quests yet, but just, it doesn't even, there are dailies for the other professions as well. For example, on Inscription, you can create forged documents,
yes,
which you can force people to pay you gold for by selling them or giving them away in Stormwind. So it's not just the ones that are actually giving away daily quests. They're items that you can create to do the exact same thing.
That's true. And by people, you mean NPCs, right?
Yes, by people, I do mean NPCs. Like, for example, there's a few in Stormwind. There's the I can't remember their specific names, but the guy who walks around and sells bread. And similarly, I've made it my personal goal. The another one is the hair person in Stormwind. And I'm attempting to get, the barber in Stormwind, thank you. And I'm attempting to get all of Ocephala's money back from him. So I've been trying to steal all his money as often as I can. And then claiming it's Ocephala's.
Yes. For those of you who may not know, Ocephala is an awesome elemental shaman who has been with Apotheosis basically since Burning Crusade, and when the barbershop opened up. She was well known, like between instances between Hyjal and BT, she would go and change her hair and such. And I don't know what the current total is on her use of the barbershop, but the last I heard, she had spent upwards of 7,000 gold there.
Oh, God, that just hurts my frugal heart.
That is not on the list of ways to save gold, no.
Oh.
So, definitely, if you want to save gold, do not go to the barber shop as often as Ocephala has over the last couple of years.
But then again, your hair will not look as awesome, so it's a trade-off.
That is true. Let's see, other ways to make gold: farm stuff that other people need, not just what you need, that's saving gold, but farming stuff that other people need is amazing. Like, lots of people need volatile air, which goes
so hard to get.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, it's going for about 25 or 30 gold each right now on Eldritch Alas, and I suspect it's similar across other servers, because the only place you really get it with any amount of abundance is out of Vortex Pinnacle. And that's just a pain. So definitely look at the volatile market. All volatiles tend to sell well, but volatile air especially. And then volatile fire goes for a lot as well. And you can fish that stuff up. Did you guys know that?
I've fished up tons of them.
Yeah.
Did not.
There were a lot of people, and I don't know why, but a lot of people thought that the lava pools in Hyjal were gone. And I'm like, no. I've fished like 20 of them today. I shouldn't have told them because, you know.
Yeah, keep your competitive edge.
I don't have much of one. Gosh. And you wonder why. I tell people my secrets.
And now it's out on the internet for everyone.
It is now. Everybody knows the lava pools in Hyjal are still there.
and so are the ones in Twilight Highlands.
Yeah, yeah. I think the volatile life is probably the least expensive at this point, correct? Just because of the non-scarcity when it comes to herbalism.
I think the last I checked, they were going for like between 4 and 6 gold each. So yeah, there's really not a huge market. The only plus side is that people do need them for the flasks, and you need 6 of those per flask. So, I mean, so long as people need flasks, I guess you can still make some money off of them. But, I mean, if you can get other volatiles with reasonable ease, that'd probably be your best bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the alchemists have a bit of an advantage. We have an ability called Transmute Living Elements. So you basically take 15 volatile life, and then you can go to Uldum, Hyjal, Vashir, or Deepholm, and it'll transmute to a different element depending on what zone you're in. So for Hyjal, it turns into fire. For Deepholm, it turns into earth. For Vashir, it turns into water. And in Uldum, it turns into air. So that's a great way for you guys to get volatile air or fire, you know, just buy 15 elemental or volatile life. That's going to be a lot cheaper than like 15 volatile air. Go to Uldum, but do your transmute, which you can do once a day, and it shares a cooldown with True Gold. And then come back and sell your 14 to 16 air.
Oh, is it? It's not 14, or it's not 15 to 15?
No, it's 15 for 14, 15, or 16.
Huh, interesting. That's kind of a cool little sort of proc, but not really thing going on.
Well, I mean, it's really useful if you're an alchemist and if you're not using your True Gold Transmute, but True Gold Transmutes will also sell pretty well, I found. I've been paid like a total of close to 1,200 gold for selling my Transmute. So like 300 gold each time, and I've sold it about 4 times.
Yeah, I guess that's leads in a little bit to another way to make gold is making ample use of your professions to do so.
Exactly.
Using cooldowns is an awesome one, just because you're not using any of your own materials. All you're doing is using a cooldown, so it's literally all profit.
Yeah, that's a nice way to make money right there. And if you can acquire the materials for cheap and sell the finished product for more, by all means do that. Like, if it's cheaper for you to get the mats for True Gold, like if you happen to be a miner and you happen to have all of, like, the 10 or 30 volatiles of the different types that you need and the pyrite, then, you know, using your own cooldown yourself and then selling the True Gold is going to be more profitable.
Yeah. And I guess to the same extent, what other, there are, I don't think there's too many others that have the free, because with the cloth, you don't really, can't get the mats back just because you would have to have them create the cloth and then use it for you. So you'd have to find a tailor that has all their cooldowns up to make any given cloth, and even then, or to make any given epic gear. And even then, you only have 5 reliable cooldowns, and to get the 6th for pants, you'd have to wait a week or have the orbs.
Yeah, that's a bit of a pain. Yeah. Stupid dream cloth being bopped. I mean, how ridiculous.
Yeah. Dream cloth is unfortunate.
Let's see. Some stuff that people don't tend to realize, while questing especially, is that gray stuff vendors for a ton of money these days. I mean, back in the day, it used to be like, what? You know, 47 silver or something. Now, so this gray stuff vendors for gold, like gold. So anything that's gray, you can safely vendor. And then you can price check anything that is white, green, blue, or purple at the auction house. And if it's not going for much, you can vendor that. Otherwise, try selling it. There's no harm in trying to sell, like, I don't know, there's a drop in Thalwood from the bears, I think it's called bear flank, and it's something that you require for cooking in a specific level, like between, I don't know, 200 and 250 or something. And so, like, at one point, people were buying a lot of bear flanks, So, you know, always check to see what a white-colored item or higher is auctioned for. And sometimes there will be a huge demand for it, and sometimes there won't be. But it's always worth taking a look.
Yeah, shift right-click is your friend. There's almost no reason not to fill your bags and then vendor it all at a later time.
Exactly. And there's a bunch of different add-ons that will also tell you what things vendor for. So if, you know, your bags are full and you don't want to get rid of anything, you can, like, sort of hover over the items in your bags and, like, ditch the cheapest selling stuff in exchange for picking up something a little more expensive to vendor.
I actually believe that's in-game now, because I definitely have that and do not have an add-on for it.
As do I.
Yep.
Maybe I'm thinking of Vendor Bait, I think it's called, which is an add-on that shows you the most expensive quest reward for vendoring, because you can't trade or sell BOE or quest rewards because they're bound to you. You can only vendor them.
Yeah, so maximum you can get is for whatever it is. And actually, it shows it on that as well. So
it does.
Yep. Add well, on, now. Be gone.
Hey!
Superfluous.
A little bit, a few more megabytes available.
Sorry. I have to say I'm with Day on that one. So wow. Add on, be gone. With the in-game UI is victorious again.
Ugh, the in-game UI. Domino's forever, man.
Amen.
Word.
Anyway, another great way to do it is to level an alt. Because when you're leveling an alt, if you are just straight making money at any given thing. I've found that I vendor quest rewards constantly. And even if you've done it on the first time through with your main, there's no greater source of a second income than an alt.
Unless you start pouring money into the alt. Do not buy the alt epic flying. Do not buy the alt epic gear. Do not buy the alt damn near anything. Like, give them the bare basics and have at it, but do not go buying epic flying for your alt unless they're a gatherer and they're your, like, primary gatherer.
Yeah, you have to be careful not to become attached to your gold making device. That is
yes.
The statement.
It is not a character, it is a gold making device, exactly.
It's so even the questing will give gold and the quest rewards will do the same. And actually, even when you're at 85, there's great gold in quests as well. I actually haven't done a ton of that, but I know you've done some of that, right, Kern?
Yeah, just a little bit while opening up various portals and stuff. Kind of epic in terms of the money to use. It's pretty, I gotta say, doing quests at level cap is amazing, and doing quests on alts, like, just here and there to open up the various portals, so much money.
Yeah, there's a lot of gold out there that is just waiting to be grabbed, that exists off quest that you just need to go do. And a lot of them, again, at the level cap, are not going to be that hard to do. So you can just pick them off and grab the gold.
Yeah, for example, my paladin still needs to do the Introduction to Twilight Highlands quests. So that's a bunch of quests in and around Stormwind and a bunch of quests over in Twilight Highlands. I just, like, dinged, you know, 85 before I even got to that point. So I didn't need to do it, but now I find that it would be really handy to have a portal to go there so I can then get Twilight Highlands and Bastion Twilight.
Yeah, that was part of the reason that while I was trying to wait for my 45-minute queue times, I was questing over in Twilight Highlands because the exact same, I think I hit 85 in Oldham, and that was that, and I was just done questing for the time being.
As soon as I hit 84, I went straight to Twilight Highlands. The XP that you get from there as opposed to Oldham was just pretty significant.
Yeah, I think it was like 50,000 for a quest or something.
Mm-hmm. It was more than that. It was, yeah,
wow.
It was pretty, pretty insane.
I was just so hooked on the story in Oldham, I just, like, didn't even think about it.
Harrison Jones is hands down my favorite character of this expansion.
Yeah, that's
really?
Good times.
Yeah, really. He's better than Bran Bronzebeard, that's for sure.
See, I always... I always thought that you didn't like Harrison.
But I love Indiana Jones.
I would say she's a very ample, or not ample, God, ample. What a terrible word. Not ample, God. Very avid, sorry. Good. Avid was the word I was looking for. Very avid Harrison Jones fan.
Yeah,
As previously stated.
I have very little experience with Harrison Jones pre-now. Like, because I mean, all I remember is the quest in, I guess it was Grizzly Hills, where you have to save him. But I was so excited to see him again in Starwind as the trainer for archaeology, and then to hang out with him in Oldham. Like, I literally just waited, you know, weeks during beta builds. Like, this is a new Harrison Jones quest. What's going on? Because the story wasn't done in Oldham. So that was always very exciting.
Sweet. It's, yeah, he had a great set of quests, so I didn't even consider going down to Twilight Highlands. And I guess that's sort of a good thing, because it allowed me an entire zone to go back to and make money off of when I needed it. So it's sort of a good thing. I guess I didn't get to experience it while leveling, but I'll take what I can get.
Fair enough. Do either of you have any other tips that you'd like to chime in with about either saving gold or making gold?
One would be to get your guild to create a fund for you.
Yes.
This still has not worked in my favor, but I am hopeful.
This coming from the woman. Okay, seriously. I traded Dar flasks that I had created for her with her mats, and I put in a copper along with that. And she refused to take the flasks until I removed the copper. And I'm like, I refuse to give you your flasks until you accept the copper. So she finally accepts the trade. And then
what
happens? I
forgot to ask you about that.
Like, an hour later, in my mail is a freaking copper from Dar. So she expended 30 copper to send me one copper. That is another way that you can save money.
Dar, totally worth it. Don't ever regret that.
I agree. Thank you, Matt.
That is 100% the right play. Way to go.
I thought so, too. I was like, this will be funny. I refuse to take people's money. I refuse.
And yet,
Kern loves it so much. Especially on the auction house.
I will take people's money on the auction house, but people giving me pity money because they think that I'm poor and I can't afford to do what I need to do. I may not be as rich as Tia. I may not be as rich as Kern, but I have enough money to do what I need to do on my daily basis, and then some. So I am perfectly content with my gold situation.
So should I not donate 5,000 gold to the flasks for Dar too?
Oh, by all means. Donations are accepted. Pity money is not.
What if it's a pity money donation?
Well, I'll take half.
Exceptions to be made.
Exactly.
Excellent.
It's like in the movie Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not necessarily rules, more as guidelines.
All right, that brings us to our shout-out section of the podcast. My shout-outs this week are to my healers. Dear God, they are truly awesome. Dar, Cal, Num, O, Hestia, Wox, you all rocked this week. Like, seriously, you guys came and did a great job and did not give up. And for that, you know, you deserve my shout-outs. Champ status to you all. Thank you for being amazing.
Yes, heals are delicious and not deaths, so thank you for that. My shout-out is to the Flasks for Dar Fund. In honor of Dar's non-spending, Toga and Kim have established this Flasks for Dar Fund. All donations for Dar and aforementioned flasks should go to Flasks for Dar, all one word, on Eldritch Alas.
Yes, definitely.
Dar.
And what?
How about you? Any shout-outs for you?
Yes. My shout-out, given my pure affection for macros and add-ons, mainly add-ons, will be to curse.com for providing me with such beautiful resources, as well as the lovely Curse client that makes installing, finding, uninstalling, and updating all 35 of my add-ons
My goodness. Excellent. Nice. Well, we'll lead out with our tip of the week. This week's tip is always, always, always make sure that you're not wearing your chef's hat, your fishing pole, your lance, or any other quest or profession item while doing an instance. This is especially not well rated. My most infamous viewing of this was Toga on our lurker attempt, which I think we ended up killing him. And that was very, very funny. We would love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share, or any feedback you might have, email us at blessingoffrost@apotheosis-now.com. Also, let us know what you thought. You can follow Apotheosis and Kern on Twitter. Follow @ApotheosisET and @KernMoog. You can leave comments and rate us up on iTunes. That's something we'd love to see some more of. We look forward to all of that. Dar, do you have any info you want to pimp out?
Oh, I love pimping out my info.
Excellent.
I do have a Twitter. You can follow me @_Darista_. That is spelled D-A-R-I-S-T-A. And I also have a blog for which you can find these wonderful guides that Kern mentioned earlier. That is at Doritos, just like the chip, except with an A in the beginning. Doritos.apotheosis-now.com.
Wonderful. We'll have a link in the show notes to that, so it's a little bit easier to click on. And wonderful. Well, that brings us to the end of our 6th episode of Blessing of Frost. I'm Magic.
I am Dar.
And I'm Kern.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a non-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.